This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 289, where today AC and I are going to talk about Microsoft, 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 recorded live January 31st, 2019.
Hey, we all know that sometimes shift happens. That's why this spring, the inaugural Shift Happens conference will be coming to Washington, D.C. on June 12th to June 13th. Hear from industry heavy hitters, change agents, and innovators as they share digital transformation wisdom. With keynotes by Microsoft's Jeff Tepper and Tony Townes-Whitley and analyst insights from Constellation and Forrester Research, this event is not to be missed. Over 2 days, find out how to get the most out of your Office 365 and SharePoint investments and hear about the successes and failures firsthand from some of the largest and most regulated organizations. For more information, visit www.shifthappenscon.com and use the discount code CLOUDSHOW for 25% off registration for both single and group discounts.
Developers, 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 AC, I love this company!
Nice, very nice. That was a pretty good rendition of him.
That's my best Steve Ballmer impersonation.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, I vividly remember my first, as a new Microsoft employee, my first internal conference back in, I joined in late 2002. And I think my first big conference was in 2003, and I came to New Orleans and I saw Steve Ballmer bust through the back of the stage, like literally jump through like a paperback wall of the stage, coming out punching, running around doing his Monkey Boy impersonation to Eye of the Tiger, running around for about 30 minutes, looking like he was about to expire from exhaustion and die. And he ran up through the aisles and was high-fiving people and fist bumping, and he ran up to this guy who leapt up to chest bump him, and he just flattened him. It was the funniest thing ever.
It was like the high C guy come barreling through the through the wall.
And I was sitting in the fifth or sixth row from the front, I think it was, of this huge auditorium. There were 30,000 people in the stadium. And I was just the small kid from New Zealand, and where it felt like my entire city was in one stadium. And I was just, what the hell is going on? I was like, whoa. Oh. And so although Steve Ballmer gets a bad rap, man, I came away from that like, holy smoke. I've never experienced anything like that before in my life. He was clutching a, you know, the honey bears that you get in the US, the little plastic bottles that are shape of a bear full of honey. And he was just chugging honey on stage. He was so hoarse, dripping from everywhere, just drenched in sweat. He was like, I love this company. Oh man. And that was my introduction to corporate Microsoft.
Well, there you go.
It was kind of wild. So
that's crazy.
I still reminisce about those days. I thought it was pretty wild. And anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, yeah. We've got a great show this week. Packed full of Microsoft news.
Booyah.
How have you been anyway?
Oh, man. I am really cold.
Are you stuck in a polar vortex?
It feels like it. I mean, technically we're not, but it is cold. When I woke up this morning, it was colder in Jacksonville, Florida than it was in Anchorage, Alaska.
Dude, you should move to tropical Washington.
Tropical Washington.
Dude, it is 40 degrees of freedom units, 4 degrees Celsius here this morning. It's practically tropical.
We're up to 54 right now. But I mean, I woke up and it was like in the low 30s or high 20s, something like that. In freedom units, of course. And, and it was like 1 degree warmer than, or 1 degree colder than Anchorage, Alaska, which is just, is nuts. I'm not training for anything right now. But I'm trying to run like two midweek runs and then a longer weekend run. And my midweek runs, I did them last week. One day I went out, it was 39 degrees. And I was like, okay, I can do this. It felt fine. And then it was like 39 out of the blue. So like the day before you were fine, but the last 3 days have just been just cold and I can't get warm. And so like the last two times I was supposed to go out and run, I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it today.
There's a different type of cold, right? There's like a bone chilling cold and then there's just like a snap cold. But I feel for those folks who are up in the Midwest or whatever that are just getting pounded right now.
And then it's nuts, like how it's nuts, like what they have like in Chicago and everything. It's just, I saw a funny picture yesterday. You know how you can do that, the boiling water trick, and you throw it and it makes like snow like immediately and like smoke. Yeah. So someone apparently did that. They put red food coloring in it. And when they like sprayed it around, they did it right off their front doorstep. But when you look at the after effects, it looks like they hauled a body out of the house.
CSI Chicago.
Yeah. So it's crazy cold. It's crazy cold. And I got my first speeding ticket about, God, it must have been over 5 years. I got it last weekend.
Oh man, I'm laughing because I can just, not because I think that's humorous, but because I've just got this vision in my head of you punching 90 down some freeway with both of your hands out the window while your car's on autopilot. Just be like, ticket me!
No, wasn't doing that because it was damn cold. So the windows were up and the heat was on.
Inside, got it.
Yeah, so it was my duty to drive the kids to my son and two girls in our neighborhood. They all are on the same swim team. And so it was my duty to drive to the 6:30 a.m. practice that day. And so I'm sitting there. There's nobody on this road. I pull out on the road and I just start driving. And it's a big straight shot. And 6 a.m., pitch black. And next thing I know, I've got these headlights coming up on me real fast. I'm like, where the hell is this thing? What? And I was like, oh, man. He's either going around me or he's coming right up on me and he's going to flash. He's going to throw his light bar on me. And sure enough, it was a cop.
Brutal.
He comes up to me and he's like, anyway, yeah. So I got tagged. Thankfully, he wrote it for much less than I was really going.
So the kids had a nice, here's how you deal with the police.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. Cop looked at me at one point. He's like, do you want me to pull you over? And I'm like, I'm guessing it's speeding, but I don't really know. I said, and he told me how fast I was going. I was like, he's like, do you have anything to say? And I'm like, nope. I said, I can believe it. And I got nothing to say. I screwed up and I'll just let you go on your way and just do what you got to do. And he's like, kind of looked over. And so I drop the kids off at swim practice and I text all the parents so that they don't hear about it from their kids.
Yeah.
So I just want to let you guys know that I let that all the kids got to find what the professionalism of the St. John's County Police Department. They got to experience it this morning and how incredibly bright their light rack is at 6 a.m. And of course, like everyone goes, ruh-roh. My wife except goes, how fast were you going? I'm like, I think we should focus on the fact that I demonstrated how you should be polite and respectful to the police and how to properly conduct yourself. And all I get back is these big frowny faces going, how bad?
Yeah. Well, let's just say I didn't end up like cheek down on my hood with my hands behind my back in cuffs.
I still have my car and we made it all the way to the beach. So we're good.
And I didn't end up shot or tased. So that's winning.
Yeah. Now I get to go to traffic school.
Oh, delightful.
Yeah. Delightful. But thankfully it wasn't 9 miles an hour over is a lot better than 22 over.
Yeah.
Financially and insurance-wise.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Anyway, how about you?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, pretty flat out, actually. I put in a bunch more. Oh, man, I've got a funny story about putting in lighting at my house.
Yeah.
I did a couple of light switches left to do, right? And I'm like, I'm on the home run, right? I'm like, I'm so close. And so pulled all the old light switches out. I'm getting up and running, put in my new light switches, flip the breaker back on. Boo. It broke, right? Like it triggered, like,
yeah.
And I'm like, short circuit, what the hell? So I go back up, check all my wiring, it all looks good, go back down, try it again, pops again. Like, oh man. So I go back up and then let's just fast forward 7.5 hours later. I still couldn't figure out the wiring. I still could not figure out what was going on. I had my multimeter out. I was,
oh man, you're going everything. Deep.
I was doing continuity checks between different, because it was a multi-way switch system, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to go check. And it turns out the electrician who put in this had decided to not use the correct color wires for certain purposes.
Oh, I hate that.
Or at least that's what I thought. Anyway, 7.5 hours later, I gave up. And I was like, oh, shit. I can't figure out how to put it back to how it was. Like, I had everything undone. There were wires everywhere. It was multi-gang switch boxes. So there was a three-gang switch and then remote switches in a couple of places and I had wires everywhere. Anyway, I called it and called an electrician the next day to come over and he comes in, he takes one look at it and he's like, oh, That's why you're confused. And turns out they'd run the wrong kind of wire to one of the remotes, and it should have had an extra wire in it. And so they'd done some jerry-rigged, like, we're just going to repurpose different colored wires to kind of make up for the fact. And so he was like, it's no surprise you're confused by it. So half an hour later, he had it all working back together. And he kind of knew what the electrician had done. And at that point had been like, oh, here's how you put it back together and put in my new light switches as part of it. So I felt A, vindicated that I wasn't completely stupid, but also B, that I'd shaved off part of my man card and that we'd had to go without lights in our bedroom and bathroom for like 18 hours.
It's one of those, when you're doing one of those projects and you get deep enough into it, it's one of the, you have that point where you're going, I am not going to call a contractor to come in and fix this. I'm going to get to a certain point. And when I haven't had to pull that card before. I was scared I was going to do it with our security system thing that I did recently. I was like, all right, I'm taking all the pictures of it, how it is. So at worst case, I can put it back together. Mm-hmm. But you're just terrified. Like, I've never done this and I'm afraid this isn't going to go back together. And
Man, I was up to my armpits in this thing and I just like, I couldn't back out. Like, I literally couldn't back out. I couldn't go back to what I had previously. And so it was really frustrating. And so needless to say, there are a couple of calls into the builder of the house that have gone on saying, we've got a couple of things to fix because it's a new build. So it wasn't done all that long ago and it should not have been done this way. So they got a couple of things to sort out.
Fun. That's always fun, man.
Joy.
But you got lights again, so you're good.
Yeah, I do now. So, I've just got like two switches to go in the rest of the house in some weird little spots. And then I'm 100% smart switched.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Good to see that's behind you.
Yeah. Hey, we've got a good news show. We've got lots of news. Like I said, Microsoft. Let's take a quick break here from one of our sponsors and we'll be right back to get stuck into it.
Are you being asked repeatedly to integrate different business systems in ever narrower timeframes and with increasing process complexity? What if you could standardize the way you build these business processes so your team are focusing on higher value tasks versus the nuts and bolts of running the processes and integrations? Nintex can make it happen. With a Nintex platform, workflows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. Got a custom system you want to connect with? No code extensions let you plug into systems simply and easily using REST and Swagger. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever. Try it out free for 30 days at www.nintex.com/try-NWC.
Okay, AC, we got some good news this week. It's a big, big news week for Microsoft. It's end of quarter. There's been some carnage, some good stuff, some not so good stuff. We've got a few items we're going to cover this week. We're going to keep it pretty tight, though. But you want to kick us off?
Well, okay, I can do that. I was going to let you go first. Why don't we go over results? And you spent more time on this so far. This is more positive. I think we should start the show out on a positive note.
Okay, Rain fair enough.
I got to get warmed up with Randy McRant face.
Get stuck in. Okay, so yesterday was the earnings release for financial year 2019 Q2 for Microsoft. And their financial results or earnings came out and they're titled Microsoft Cloud Strength Fuels Second Quarter Results. Their results are out. They're pretty much in line with what analysts were expecting. And I don't know, call me a half-glass full kind of guy, but I actually think these are pretty incredible. They didn't smash their expectations, right? They did about what analysts expected, slightly under. So they were expecting a little bit more revenue, I think. Not by much, but they were pretty much on target. But revenue for the quarter was $32.5 billion, which increased 12%, which, man oh man, like 12% doesn't sound like much until you attach it to a number like $32 billion, and then you're like, holy smoke. That's a lot of incremental revenue.
Yeah.
Interesting numbers, though, were more in the details. So the big ones that we're interested on this show are around cloud, right? So intelligent cloud was $9.4 billion, which was up 20%.
20%?
Yeah. So
that's huge. You know,
20% for cloud, which that's just nuts, right? So intelligent cloud includes Azure is basically why we care a lot about that number.
in 365?
365 is in productivity and business processes.
Oh, really? I thought that intelligent cloud was, that's just Azure. My bad.
Okay. Yeah. So productivity and business is 10.1 billion, up 13%. And that was fueled by 11% in office commercial products and cloud services, up 11%. So that includes Office 365 commercial, right? So business SKUs, which were up 34%. Pretty amazing.
It is amazing. There was one number in that in the productivity and business process that we talked about offline before the show was the LinkedIn revenue. That surprised me. They increased by 29%. They don't have a dollar number on them, but we see that they were up 29%. Yeah, record levels of engagement highlighted by LinkedIn session growth of 30%.
Yeah. It's crazy, huh? What's hidden in here that I did not expect was office consumer products and cloud services only increased 1%.
Mm-hmm.
It's very close to no growth in office consumer. And that includes Office 365 consumer. So, you know how you get a subscription to Office 365 for like Office, you know, on your iPad and stuff like that? That's been growing really well. And their numbers are up, 33.3 million users or subscribers. But what's up with the revenue increasing 1%? Like, must be more behind that.
To be clear, too, one of the things you said, the consumer subscribers is up to 33.3 million. Yes. It's not, they didn't grow by 33.3 million. And I know you said that correctly, just making sure that's clear. You know, I wonder... It is really interesting. Would that not concern, if you were in office, would that not concern you that there was any kind of, there was no, for 1% is no growth. I mean, it is growth, but that's really no growth. You're flatline. And it's just a shade above being negative. So, I mean, I get that office being up, office commercial revenue is up 34%. Overall, it was up 34%. It just doesn't, I mean, 365 only being up 1%. I wonder if, does Microsoft care about that? I mean, surely they do, but you know, 365 is clearly a business play. I mean, there's like no consumer play at all if they're flatlined.
Well, yeah, it doesn't. We'll have to look at previous results to see what percentage of subscriber growth there was, right? Like revenue growth at 1% might just mean they've been having to give it away for less for this period for whatever reason. You know, maybe they're trying to take on more competitors, and so they're being a lot more price conscious, for example, and so they're not making as much revenue off it or something like that. But I think the subscriber growth is what we'd have to do a comparison on and really see if it is flatlining in terms of proper growth or if it's just revenue growth that's flatlining.
Yeah, it does. And I wonder how many of them are like transfers. You know, they don't need the consumer buy because they're getting it's so simple, so easy to get it through work now, and so it's more of a commercial subscription, and so. You know, are they using their work laptop to do certain things or I don't know, maybe?
Curious. Yeah, but you're right about LinkedIn. That was kind of amazing. They're growing at 30%. That's huge. We were having a quick chat before the show about this, about where that's coming from. And my theory on it is that it's coming from their recruitment products. So like not ads, but the tools that they sell companies to help them do recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
Just a hunch. We don't know really any breakdown in any detail about where the growth is coming from, but they're doing really well.
Mm.
So a really good purchase for Microsoft, I would say. And it's obviously still continuing to grow even after the acquisition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard though that
it's a good quarter. It's funny with these quarterly numbers, right? When they come in, the title of this one was Microsoft's Cloud Strength Fuels Second Quarter Results. I mean, I feel like that title might've been used for like the last seven or eight quarters almost, but
yeah,
which that's not a bad thing. I mean, that's good that we see growth doing that, but it's almost when you see this news coming in from the market, it's kind of, I mean, once it's kind of irritating when you see what the stock reacts to it, because it's almost like the ungrateful kid on Christmas morning. Right, because it's like, look what you got around the tree. And it's like, yeah, but I didn't get that one thing that I wanted. Like, are you kidding me? You're like a spoiled little brat. Look at how much shit you got.
Yeah.
But you know, and the market's like, yeah, but you didn't blow us away. Like, okay, we didn't, but we're really healthy and things are going really. We're not Apple saying that we're down millions of iPhone sales in a quarter. I mean,
yeah, true.
I don't know.
True. One real surprise: Dynamics revenue up 51%, which I thought was a real surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I guess people are starting to transition their CRM stuff to the cloud from Dynamics on-prem, perhaps. A couple of other interesting results. Personal computing up 7%, Windows OEM down 5% as part of that, which is, you know, the sort of slow decline of Windows. Windows commercial, though, up 13%. So I guess Windows and consumer is going down because of iPads and those kinds of and phones and all that, but commercial is still pretty strong. Surface up 40% or 39%. That's pretty good. Gaming up 8% and search up 14%, which, so yeah, I think like all around, like solid results, regardless of them, of what the analysts' expectations were and that they missed them very slightly. They were pretty much bang on target, you know, for all intents and purposes. So, yeah, Microsoft crushing it, really. Yeah, they're not missing by, they missed by a gnat's whisker. Like, it was so small.
A gnat's whisker, that is pretty small.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. About as small as it gets.
Exactly, yep.
Cool.
What do you got for us?
I have some bad news. Actually, I have a pair of bad newses. I don't know if we've ever talked about problems with Azure AD in the past. No,
I don't think we ever have.
Yeah. This past week has not been a good week for reliability when it comes to Microsoft's cloud services. So I've got an article here that I'll put in the show notes by bleepingcomputer.com. Love that domain. Titled, Office 365 suffers a massive two-day outage. Outlook and Exchange were down. And you see that, you know, basically North America, or specifically the United States, looks like a virus outbreak, whereas a huge thing going on inside of Europe as well. And this mostly was around users were reporting over the course of 2 days, major problems getting to their mailboxes using multiple protocols. They had problems with mail deliverability. Some people are getting 3-hour delays, missing emails, sending or receiving multiple repeated emails at one time. A lot of stuff was going on, and it was all reported through the Microsoft 365 Twitter status account. That's MSFT 365 status. Mm. After about 4 hours, they finally said they determined a subset of domain controller infrastructure was unresponsive, resulting in user connection timeouts. So that's one of the things that was causing a lot of the problems. So that all happened on the, I think that was on January the
25th, was it?
24th and 25th, yeah. So it was over 24th really was the main time. That's when it all kind of started and kind of dragged on for a little bit. That was one issue. But then more recently, and this one was the one that was, this is getting, well, I shouldn't say getting, this is already really old. Azure AD had yet another major outage. So January the 29th, they had an issue with internal DNS at Microsoft. And the part that's a little, that kind of raised an eyebrow or kind of made you like squint and be like, something doesn't smell right, was a problem with CenturyLink, which is ISP, managed DNS inside of Microsoft. Mm. And once they identified the problem, they rolled over to a different DNS and everything was fixed and everything was fine. But for a little while, we were having trouble authenticating with Azure AD. Now, I have multiple feelings on this. We've ranted on this, on Azure AD's reliability issues recently.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. And the thing that gets me about this now that is starting to get really old is that you could justifiably start questioning the reliability of Azure AD right now, starting going back to the South Central fire, data center fire back in September. Then a few weeks later, there was another one that was lasted for many, many hours. There was a third one that lasted for many, many hours. This isn't the first one that's happened in 2019. By my count, we're either at 4 or 5 major outages with Azure AD not being reliable. And the thing that is, the two things that are concerning to me about this is that number one, it was third-party infrastructure managed DNS inside Microsoft was the culprit to this. Kind of surprised me there. I mean, I'm not going to say I know how to design a highly redundant fault-tolerant directory system and all. I'm not about to say that I know to go there, but something just kind of looks at it and go, CenturyLink was a problem? Like, huh, that's odd. That's one thing. The other thing that is a little more concerning to me and is a little more irritating is that this has been going on now for a few months and it's been different things almost every time. DNS has been an issue one or two times, but different reasons for DNS. And I'm surprised that someone with a lot of clout does not stand up and to do an interview with like a TechCrunch or with some podcast or something and just kind of be a mea culpa and saying, flat out come out and basically express, this isn't acceptable. and we're working to fix it, and here's what we're working to do, and here's what we're trying to do. To me, when you could, I mean, I've said it one or two times, but it's, I think anybody could say it, that right now, what's more reliable for authentication? Is it Azure AD, or is it Google's authentication, or is it Facebook's authentication? Mm. Right now, Azure AD is number three out of those three that I've got. Yeah. And it just, to me, we need somebody to stand up from Microsoft and to say, go on point, just be like, you know, no, it's not acceptable, which of course I know it's not acceptable. And I know that they would say that, but somebody's got to go through and assume some responsibility for this publicly and explain what's the path going forward. What kind of sucks is we're kind of in a situation where we're stuck. I mean, you can't all of a sudden choose something else if you're on Office 365. You can't choose something else if you're on Azure. If you're on Azure, I mean, this is just how it is. But I don't know, man. It's really
it's inexcusable. And login should just be dial tone level reliability. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It should just be every single time you go to do it, it should work without fail. And you never hear about Google's login being down. At least I haven't. Or Facebook's login being down. Or Amazon's login being down.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't hear it. And there's something up with what's going on in Azure AD for some reason.
It's
probably complex, and I get it. It's hard. Massive scale. I get it. That's the business they're in.
Take the whole thing of the promises with a V2 endpoint and a new authentication library, MSAL. Those promises have been around every year, it seems, for the last 2-3 years. And everything now that you hear from the Azure AD team, before, I was absolutely in love with everything they did. Now I'm just kind of like, how about you just do your job? How about you just do your job right now and get it done? Which, I mean, I don't like saying that, but that's how I feel. And so you go to a conference at Build, and what do they always show you during the keynote? Scott Guthrie's keynotes, they show that one slide, and look at all the billions of authentications that we do these days. And then this year at Build, there's going to be a little asterisk to the bottom that says, except for that one day in September, and that one day in October, and that one day in January. It's like,
yeah,
this is just, I don't know. Hopefully somebody will step up and do something or say something. But until then, just wait till the next one. And have we got more stuff to talk about?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, there's not much we can do about it. We can just hope that Microsoft do a better job of it, staff it appropriately, do necessary steps, whatever it takes.
One last thing I'll say on it. I'm not saying that these other public clouds don't go down. I'm not at all implying that. We haven't covered it, but I've seen things where Google Cloud has an issue, or Amazon has an issue, or Dropbox has an issue. Everybody has issues. But this is like the one thing where, hey, I can't get to the website, www.microsoft.com. It's like, that's kind of what we're looking at here. It's pretty freaking epic, so.
Yeah, yeah. Okie doke.
Struggling to reproduce problems in your code base? Successful software starts with Raygun. Raygun provides application performance monitoring, unlike anything you've experienced before, offering greater clarity around how your software is performing for your customers than any other APM provider. Easily detect and diagnose issues impacting end users, and monitor every part of your stack in one place. It's time to get back to building great software instead of fighting it. Start your journey to better software quality. Try Raygun free at raygun.com today.
Hey, so I know we've spoken about Cortana in the past, but there was an interesting article that came out from ZDNet. How do you say it?
I say ZDNet.
ZDNet. I say ZD, yeah. Still weird. Called "With Cortana's Concession Speech, Microsoft Abandons Another Platform Opportunity." Really, this is not news. We've spoken about this in the past. I think, like, even last episode we spoke about, or maybe the episode before, we spoke about Microsoft disconnecting Cortana from the Windows search bar and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the title says, "Microsoft fought a late start in trying to establish Cortana as a premier voice agent, leveraging the company's AI research, but the lack of a Trojan horse for distribution made the company's latest casualty of a hedge for a client future beyond Windows." So, yeah, this is sort of another notch in the belt towards irrelevance in the voice market. At least they're admitting defeat, you know? In some respects, I'd rather see them do that than sort of run out going, no, it's the latest, the greatest, like, we're the best, and it's obviously not the case. And so I think that's good. And they're kind of taking this approach of, rather than trying to make Cortana the front end for things, making it a component of things instead. So, like, being able to leverage Microsoft services from Alexa or from Google Home or whatever you want to call, versus trying to say, no, no, you've got to go buy this speaker from Microsoft or Harman Kardon or whatever that has the stuff baked into it. But in the past, I'm not sure Microsoft would have learned this lesson so quickly, and they would have sort of suffered with it a bit longer.
Yeah, the unfortunate part of this, though, I mean, from the it's a consumer device, and we were talking about this offline before the show as well, and they got a long history of trying consumer devices that don't work out, that end up being on the tech scrap heap.
Those have all been Me Too devices, and I don't mean that in a facetious, you know, hashtag Me Too way. I mean that like in a copycat kind of way. Mm-hmm. All of those devices have all been copycat, right? So like Zoom was a great product, but mm-hmm. it was too late, and it was a copycat. And same with the watch, right? Mm-hmm. The whatever it was called, the band. Mm-hmm. That was a copycat product as well. And so was Cortana on a home speaker and stuff. And there is space for that, but only if you're in second place, not if you're in third or fourth.
Mm-hmm. It was a good point.
You can follow number one. Usually number two does better than number one in the long run. Mm-hmm. In most cases, that's Apple don't come out with new products. They copy other people and make them better, right? And that's a whole business. Like they've turned that into a billion-dollar business. But they're shipping less devices than Google now, for example, with capacitive touchscreens, even though they were the pioneer. So I don't know. I think Microsoft could have done well if it was number two, but unfortunately number three or four is not enough.
Yeah. This one never even had like a spike of a adoption though.
2 years before something comes out, that's probably when they started it. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, they were like, let's do it. We've got an in. And the timing was probably right.
2 years ago.
It just took too long. Yeah. I see the exact same thing happening with those Surface headphones.
Yeah.
It's like, awesome product. I suspect they are really great. Like, they're probably really nice headphones, great build quality and awesome. But why?
Mm-hmm.
Too late.
That's me in that wheel that the Studio Surface has. And looking and going, that's a cool demo. And that's about as far. I'm like, I don't want to travel with a wheel. I mean, I'm not a designer, but I see like designers and architects and stuff. Some of them do like to use a pencil or a writing device.
Stylus, yeah, like a Wacom tablet type thing. Yeah.
But I mean, also like going, yeah, we have this new thing called a wheel. It's like, I mean, yeah, okay, I get it, but I don't want to have to learn anyway.
Yeah. The copycat ones and they're not bad products. Like I said, I thought Zoom was really good. Yeah. Health band, the band, probably not so good.
I liked it.
HoloLens, amazing innovation, but I'm not sure they're going to win that battle. Xbox is really their biggest consumer product, like hardware product
mm-hmm.
right now. And, you know, it's a good product, but it's been obviously out for a really long time.
I think the thing you mentioned with the HoloLens, you know, they're the ones that are looking at the augmented reality versus the virtual reality. And I think, at least from my point of view, the whole augmented and virtual reality thing is still, the jury's still out. I mean, I can see value in it and stuff. And I'm sure we're going to see another big demo at Build about, you know, how it's being used. But to me, it still hasn't taken off. I mean, it's a cool gaming thing that some people like, you know, jump onto and it's kind of neat, but it still isn't like a mainstream or a thing you really need to go jump into. At least today, that's the way I feel like it.
Mm.
I don't know.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
We have one more piece of news, small bit of news. Positive about Azure AD. How about that?
Oh, we should end on a positive note.
You know how sharing at Microsoft stuff is hard usually?
Mm.
Or it looks easy, but it never works properly or works really or doesn't work when you really need it to, right?
Yeah.
Yes, to be fair, it probably does work the majority of the time, but it always seems to not work when you really, really need it to work. Anyway, they've got this new thing called one-time passwords so that when you share something, you can say, just send it to somebody with an email address and it'll give them an email-based one-time passcode that they can use to log in, not password, passcode.
Mm-hmm.
So this is for people that don't have like a Microsoft-backed account, for example, like an MSA Microsoft account or an Office 365 ID, for example. So if you just send them an email, they get a one-time passcode and they can log in using that and get whatever it is that you've shared, which might make it a little more straightforward to accept one of these invites or to get the thing that somebody shared with you.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple process. I mean, the blog post that we're going to link to, the first diagram that it has in it, off the cuff, it makes it feel like it's a lot more complicated than it really is. It isn't. It's really straightforward. It's just, I want to share it with you. You're going to get an email and there'll be a number in there. And just take that number, click on the link. And when you're prompted to log in, put your email address in and put that number in. And it's good.
Yeah.
That's it. You're in.
Yeah. Lasts for 24 hours, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, so your login session. The code is only you use once, but the ability to keep that session open is for 24 hours.
That's cool. Nice. Nice addition, at least making sharing a little bit easier.
Yeah, yeah. All right, AC, let's get on to the fun part and do some picks.
CJ's Hyperfish automates the collection of user profile information from users and organizational directories such as Office 365, SharePoint, Active Directory, and HR systems. The secure service supports on-premises, hybrid, and online environments. Bring your directory to life at hyperfish.com.
AC's Voitanos delivers on-demand video-based training for developers on the latest SharePoint extensibility model from Microsoft in his course, Mastering the SharePoint Framework.
Okay, it's that time of the show. Out of interest, you know, last time I said I wonder if people are getting their tokens that we sent them?
Yeah.
We got our first photo back.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
That one came from Israel, right?
Israel, yep. So we sent the Microsoft Cloud Show branded photo token to a listener in Israel. And he took a photo of it and sent us it on Twitter, which was really cool. It's great to know that it arrived.
Yeah.
So if you've got listener picks, send them in. And if your pick gets chosen and read out on the show, we will send you a wonderful Microsoft Cloud Show branded Solo Key, which is a hardware auth token.
Yeah, there's two more of them out there that are floating around. So Ben,
yes.
We know that you got yours yesterday. We had lunch yesterday, so you got yours. So we need a picture of that. I guess I should have just taken a picture of it when it was at lunch.
Yeah.
Made him tweet it. And then we got another one that is on its way to the UK, I think. I think that's where the other one's on its way to.
Yeah.
So
anyway, when you get them, take a photo with them. We'd love to know you got them.
We actually have another one for today.
Excellent.
This one's a cool one. Yeah. Can we do this one first?
Go for it.
Okay. This one, I'm gonna do my best on this. So apologies if I mess your name up. Jorian Hulbroek, I think that's right. That's right. So he sent a link in, and the root of this. Oh wait, do I have the wrong link up? I do have the wrong link up. Yeah. So it is. It's from the site called The Dark Side of Gaming, and it's not bad though. The title of the article is Final Fantasy VII and Hexen will receive AI-enhanced HD texture packs. And then these are the first screenshots. So this is interesting. This is totally, totally separate from anything that we normally do. What it looks like they've done is they're taking old games and they're using AI to make the graphics more current and less pixelated, but also a lot more like with better shading and stuff like that. So if you click through onto one of the links to one of the pictures in here, they show you like a before and after of what some of these pictures look like. And it's pretty cool to get
your favorite old games, you know?
Yeah, to go through and clean this stuff. I know there's a couple of games I wish they would do as well that I used to play back in the day. But this is interesting. It's a cool use of AI or a cool use of machine learning. This stuff is like so over my head that just like, how in the world are you guys even figuring this out? How do you train a computer to be like, make that picture prettier? Like what?
Yeah, surely you just push the enhance button like they do in CSI.
That's what it looks like
enhance.
To me.
Enhance.
Yeah.
And then suddenly that you can read a number plate from like 50 miles away. It's great.
You ever wonder why, whenever I see those pictures, like going, yeah, hit enhance, let me see the license plate or see that person's face a lot better. I'm like, why the hell didn't I do that by default?
Yeah.
Like, why do you have to push a button and say, I'd like to be able to read this? Like, it's still fuzzy.
Because they've got sweet, sweet technology none of us have.
I want that for some of my food that I eat. Like, go on, this is kind of bland here. Make it better.
Enhance.
Oh, sweet. We got tacos on Tuesday.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, what do you got for it?
That's really cool. Home automation related. Got Pink put onto this thing called Stringify.com. It's a mobile app that lets you connect to all of your home automation things. And the best way I can describe it is sort of like if this, then that, and that. So you could say, you know, if you push a button on your phone, then you can automate a whole bunch of different things happening across your different home automation stuff. But it's a very straightforward, simple to use mobile app versus having to use something like Home Assistant or OpenHAB or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And interestingly, it sort of relates to the Microsoft world. They call them flows. So you create flows with various activities and actions in them and stuff, very much like Flow does in Office 365. Kind of cool.
And it's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, they got integrations for Alexa and Hue and Fitbit and SmartThings and Arlo and Ring and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
You know, if you have a bunch of different things in an ecosystem, different ecosystems, and you want to join them together, chances are they've got connectors for them.
That's cool.
Springify.com.
Yeah. I've got one. I showed this to you last week. And have you played with this much?
I have. I've got it installed. It's pretty sweet.
So you got your new MacBook Pro with the snazzy OLED touch bar. I've got one as well. I've had one for about a year. And the touch bar is, you know, first when it came out, some people were like going, oh, this is awesome. Some people were like, oh, this is so gimmicky and stupid. I like the out-of-the-box one. I think it's an improvement. I like it more than the function keys that we had before. I don't miss the lack of a physical escape key. That doesn't bother me. But what I did find that was interesting about this is I was a little disappointed in how hard it was to configure it out of the box to put my own stuff on this. And someone shared this link with me. I forget where I saw it. But this link that I'll link to is called the Better Touch Tool Better Touch Tool Toolbar. And it's effectively what it does is it lets you go through and have more customizations, but people have set different presets and different configurations that you can download and apply to your machine. I've played with a couple of different ones. It's one of those things that come on my list of, all right, let me think about what would I like to have on my my touch bar. My challenge is my laptop sits closed, plugged in most of the time on my desk while I have a external monitor and external keyboard and everything set up. So I don't end up getting to use it all that often. Would love it if Apple would come out with the keyboard, the Magic Touch keyboard. I'd love it if we had one of those with the touch bar.
Would be pretty nice. Although I don't use their keyboards, but that would be kind of nice. I could see how that would be useful.
I love their Magic Touch keyboard that is the same physical dimensions, and same thing with the touchpad, the Magic Touchpad or Magic Pad, whatever it's called, Magic Trackpad, that having the same physical dimensions as the keyboard and the trackpad on your laptop. And so like I've got mine arranged the same way on my desk that they are on the laptop so that I don't have this muscle memory switch over when I switch from laptop to desk and all that.
Yeah, I can understand that. I just don't like the keyboards for like everyday use. That's just personal preference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the touch bar tool thing that you're linking to, okay, I don't even know what it's called.
It's hard to say.
Poor naming. Yeah, it's pretty nice. I've got it installed and I've got some of the out-of-the-box set. I downloaded one of their theme packs for it or whatever it's called. And it's got a bunch of different buttons and things. I've started using it. Although I don't use my laptop open every day, right? At work, I plug it into screens and close the lid. Mm-hmm. So it's not that useful in terms of that. But, you know, when I'm on the go, it's pretty nice. And I've moved to a 13-inch version of a MacBook Pro.
Mm.
And so it's not as big. And I do find it useful having those buttons up the top because the 13-inch one doesn't have function keys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my old laptop did have function keys, so this one doesn't. And so it is nice to have that touch bar with other, you know, with brightness and volume and what else have I got on here? I've got like notification stuff. I've got date and time. I've got volume, brightness. I've got emoji settings, stuff like that. Yeah. Full screen, actually. There's a full screen button, which is one of my pet peeves about Mac OS is their windowing system, right? You know about my bitchiness when it comes to the windowing on Mac OS, but there's a full screen button and I'm like, yay, that's so helpful. I can make something go full screen, properly full screen.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's useful. This tool is useful.
It is useful. It is useful. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think we're all set for this week, AC. We covered some Microsoft news and had a good rant about Azure AD, talked about the numbers, got some good picks in here and some other decent news. So let's wrap this one up and call it done, and we will see everybody next week.
Sounds good to me, man. I will see you next week.
Keeping you awake there, buddy.
I know, sorry, you caught me in a big yawn.
All right, have a good one, AC.
Yeah, man, take care.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show. We'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as an MP3 or WAV file and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up for our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.